everyone, and Merry Christmas, Happy Yule, and winter blessings. I am so honored to be able to spend today with you and offer a little company no matter what your day looks like. Taking a break from the family duties? Find it easier to spend this day alone? No matter what, we've got you. Every year we host the annual variety show, and we feature writers and helpers from not only the Witch Daily Show, but from the entire Witch Way universe. So what can you expect today? Songs and stories from Jessica, predictions from Kiki, a guided meditation for joy as read by Spence, as well as heartwarming holiday stories in between. So whether you're relaxing, making cookies, or drinking hot cocoa, take a deep breath and let's get started.
There, Witch Daily Show listeners. My name's Lefty Lucy, and I started co-producing the Witch Daily Show with Tanya earlier this year. When I'm not researching herbs and the paranormal in the news, I host a bi-monthly game night here in New Orleans. So I figured that for this year's holiday special, what better way for me to contribute than to create and share a Yule-inspired game that you can play while listening to this episode, at holiday gatherings, or even with friends online. The game is called Cinnamon Sticks, more like Cinnamon Drops, a festive game for the chaotic cheerful. All you need to play is a hard surface, a cutting board or table is ideal, as well as a jar or mug that you can cover with your hand, at least 3 cinnamon sticks, and a handful of cloves. I use 22, but if you have a very large surface, you might want to use more of both the cloves and the sticks. So, to get started, a player should cover their spice jar and shake it like dice while saying, "Cloves and sticks of cinnamon, may just one stay so that I can win." Then, with gusto and from at least a foot above the playing surface, the player should toss all the spices out, scattering the cloves and the sticks. Anything that does not land on the cutting board is taken out of gameplay, and anything that does land on it is returned to the jar for the next turn. Now, if you're playing solo, repeat this action until only one cinnamon stick or one clove is left on the cutting board. But if 2 or more people are playing, rotate through players until one person wins. And if you've got a competitive edge, don't worry, boo. I got you. We've got a point system. That's right. So, cinnamon sticks are worth 2 points and cloves are worth 1 point. But points are awarded for the spices that do not land on the cutting board. The goal is still to get just one spice left on the board, but the winner's determined by who has the most points once the board is down to that one clove or one cinnamon stick. And a bonus of 3 points is awarded to the player that gets it down to that solo spice. And that's it. That's cinnamon sticks. More like cinnamon drops. I hope you have a good time playing this game and sharing it with your friends, and that you have a lovely holiday season. See you next year.
Hey everybody. So between segments, I wanted to share some heartwarming Christmas stories. And our first variety show, we got some wonderful stories from our listeners, but I think we've tapped the bank. But as with all good listicle websites, BuzzFeed had a wonderful list of heartwarming Christmas stories submitted by their readers. So between each segment, I will read one to you. The Brownie Sash. A few years ago, I participated in a storytelling project in the month of December. The theme of the event was gifts, and I told the story of how I had received a brownie's uniform and manual from my grandparents for my 7th birthday, granting me the opportunity to be in the troop, only to be faced with a horrible troop leader who freely told the other girls that she didn't like me and would only hand out badges on days I wasn't there. My story concluded with revealing that after 1 year in the Brownies, I had only one badge. All the other girls moved on to the next level of Girl Scouts. I did not. My mother was at the storytelling event, and 2 weeks later for Christmas, she handed me a small gold box. Inside was a Brownie sash, adorned with every single badge a girl could earn, accompanied by a 3-page letter explaining how I had earned them. I was so touched, I cried. It was the most beautiful and thoughtful gift I had ever received.
I love this time of year. It's such a marshmallowy time of year. Everything's all squishy and warm and sweet. So I figure today we will do Marshmallow World, because it's such a happy song. It's marshmallow day in the winter, when the snow comes to cover the ground. It's a time for play. It's a whipped cream day. I wait for it the whole year round. Those are marshmallow clouds being friendly in the arms of the evergreen trees. And the sun is red like a pumpkin head. It shines and so your nose it won't freeze. The world is your snowball. See how it grows. That's how it goes. Whenever it snows, the world is your snowball. Just for a song, get out and roll it along. It's a yum, yummy world made for sweethearts. Take a walk with your favorite girl. It's a sugar date. What if spring is late? In winter, it's a marshmallow world. Take a walk with your favorite girl. It's a sugar date. What if spring is late? In winter, it's a marshmallow world. In winter, it's a marshmallow world. In winter, it's a marshmallow world.
Yeah. Fun.
Back to normal. My grandmother died a week and a half away from her favorite holiday, Christmas, and we thought that things were at their worst. We were eating in complete silence, and all of a sudden, my grandfather said the simplest thing, that he was grateful for us being there. That week was the hardest week of my life, and I still remember it vividly. But that Christmas, when my grandpa said those words, I thought that things could go back to normal. Submitted by Jonah LaRoe.
Hi guys, it's Jessica Marie Baumgartner, a writer and crazy person of all things. I like to do lots of different things, and so I have a song today, but I also wanted to read one of my most recent stories. It's in the latest Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Magic of Christmas, and it's 101 Tales of Holiday Joy, Love, and Gratitude. And so I wanted to start with mine. It's on page 151. It's at the start of chapter 6 called The Joy of Giving. And I love telling this story. I should say, I don't like telling stories about giving to people because sometimes I feel like it's, I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about the spirit of helping others. So this is called Sweet Gift.
I was walking to my friend's office in the city to bring him and a few other people some festive cookies. As I approached the historic downtown building on Washington Avenue, a man lingered by the door. He was layered in dirty clothes and desperation darkened his face. He stepped forward. "You got any spare change?" "Sorry, I don't." I was pretty broke at the time, but the plates of cookies piled in my hands may as well have been shouting to go with this man. I grabbed one and held it out to him. "But I do have some cookies if you want." His eyes went wide. "Cookies!" he shouted as if he were a little boy. "God bless you, thank you so much!" I laughed at his giddiness. We were suddenly like old friends instead of strangers. But before I could say you're welcome, he rushed off. I was 21, maybe 22 or 23 years old, and working multiple jobs to make ends meet. But experiencing this during my winter break made me appreciate the fact that I had work. It also inspired me to stop and think back to the brief time when I was homeless myself. I've never been without a place to sleep, but when I was 18, my sister and I were couch hopping before we landed on our feet. Our parents were unstable and things snowballed really fast, and we were on our own before I finished high school. It was a horrible feeling not knowing where we were going to sleep. I really would never wish that uncertainty on anyone, ever. Even before then, whenever I saw somebody down on their luck, I wanted to help. You know, I've handed out probably more money than I should have. A lot of people are like that, right? But after I shared cookies with that man on Washington Avenue, a new tradition began. I started whipping up extra cookies during the holiday season. I bagged them and drove around looking for people begging on street corners or sleeping under overpasses. When I married my husband, he started coming along. He was nervous at first. He sat in the passenger seat staring out the window. I just don't know what to say. It's hard looking at someone who's obviously going through something. "Just smile and wish them well," I said. "That's what I do. It'll be fine." He stuttered a bit at first. Sometimes you meet someone who is so grateful that it makes you cry. There are heartbreaking moments, but I like those one-on-one interactions with people where we can discuss life or just bring a new sense of hope to each other. I've always found the best people in the worst places. And this also gave me a soft spot for veterans. A lot of shelters only take women and children, and they have capacity limits and regulations that have to be followed. During the pandemic, many shelters were even more limited, if they were open at all. So there were more men left on the streets than ever, and we witnessed this firsthand. It hit my husband pretty hard. He suggested we do more. Why don't we give them something more substantial, like sandwiches? I still wanted to give them a festive treat, something to include them in the holiday season. We were working with limited funds, but I also worried about all the vets with bad teeth. So I wanted to offer something soft with good nutrition that was still a treat. That led us to fruitcake. Yes, fruitcake. Even the nuts soften when you bake them in, and they're good protein for somebody who really needs it. Fruitcake gets a bad rep because it's traditionally full of hard, candied fruit, which is really gross, but I make mine with fresh pineapple, cherries, raisins, and craisins. Add in some chopped walnuts and pecans, and it's like a bread meal. It's something more nutritional than just cookies. The more I share this story, the more people reveal their own charitable acts of feeding the homeless in their communities. It's such a simple gesture, handing somebody some food or offering them a blanket on a cold day. And it all comes back to us. Just as I had people who looked out for me when I had nowhere to live, there are others out there who can benefit from simple acts of kindness. During the summer, handing out sandwiches is something that we do, and it's a fun gift. But when the holidays approach, there's nothing like handing out fresh fruitcake. My husband and I pack the kids up and display what the season is really all about. We've met families, loners, and everyone in between, people of all colors from all walks of life. And it all started with one man who was just so happy to receive a plate of cookies that I wanted to give more. And that it's a big part of our tradition. It's a big part of our life. And I think there are a lot of people out there who have stories like these. And I want you guys to share them. And I don't want you to share them, you know, for selfish reasons. I don't want you to, you know, make it all about you. But there is something very special about leading by example. And it's so funny how people do good when they see good things happening. It snowballs. And more people will help if they know that it's happening and that it's acceptable. And it's something that, you know, you don't have to freak out or be worried or get, you know, kind of nervous about approaching somebody who's obviously down on their luck. It takes a little bit of nerve because, you know, you don't know this person. And when it's a one-on-one interaction, You know, some people don't want help. But most often, it's such a wonderful experience. And it really makes the holidays bright. So I hope you guys have a wonderful holiday season, that you're getting ready to have a happy new year, and that you can help make it bright for someone else too.
Random act of kindness. I was about 10 and my family was really struggling financially. It was a few days before Christmas and a stranger rang the doorbell and handed my dad a wrapped box. We all sat at the table and my parents opened it to find an envelope full of cash, as well as gift cards for myself and my three siblings. My parents asked all around to try to find out who did it, but to this day, we don't know. It's touching to know people do things like this, not for praise, but out of the goodness of their hearts. Submitted by Brittany M. 43.
Happy holidays, everyone. This is Kiki Dombrowski. I am the author of A Curious Future, which is a book on divination, and I have been reading tarot for, almost 30 years. Oh my God. So I am coming to you today to share with you some 2023 predictions, which are developed through pulling different tarot cards based on questions that some of my friends, as well as the listeners of the podcast, asked me to draw, you know, things that concern them or that they're interested in just getting an idea of what they're stepping into for 2023. So to start with, numerologically speaking, 2023 is a 7 year. This is represented by the Chariot card. So on a personal level, I think that this could indicate that people are discovering and embracing their personal power. So think about how a lot of people are saying, you know what, I'm not going to go back into the office. I've been working remote for 2 years. It's not going to happen. Or, you know what, I'm sick and tired of seeing people like Elon Musk have success in their lives, so I'm going to make a fuss out of it and call them out. So there is this desire to just stand up for ourselves, and I see that continuing into the Chariot year. One thing you may want to ask yourself in the Chariot year is, where would you take your personal chariot if you could go anywhere in the world? So what goals and what journeys would you go on that would help you feel really empowered and confident? Another thing about the Chariot card is that I think that the pandemic made us feel pretty distracted. I tend to lose attention quickly. So one of the things I would recommend with the Chariot card is to consider, what is it that you can do to help you stay focused? Is it writing a to-do list? Is it creating a really strict schedule? Or is it a pot of coffee in the middle of the night? So think about those things that can help you stay on target with your goals and your desires. And on a bigger note, I sometimes think about how the charioteer is celebrated as a champion. The charioteer tends to look like a hero in a parade coming home from war. So we may want to review who it is we are celebrating in 2023. Moving on, I want to start with some of the more challenging answers that I got and end on a positive note. So unfortunately, one of the first questions that was asked was about the environment and climate change. For this question, I pulled the Devil card. So unfortunately, I don't think things are looking great. I just don't see movement happening. The powers that be are not going to help at finding a solution if it means that they would relinquish money and or control. And that leaves us feeling hopeless, feeling ashamed, feeling embarrassed. There's this feeling with the environment of, I can't get out of this, I can't break free. So there might be this feeling of just being frozen or stuck, or looking at the grand scheme of things and going, I can't stop a corporation. But one thing you could do is go down to your local park and pick up the plastic, or go to your beach and pick up cigarette butts. So the thing to remember with the devil is that we can find changes and find liberation and find fixes when we're ready to make those within ourselves. So yeah, maybe a little bit more of a rough card to see, but I think we all kind of feel that we're up against some pretty unfortunate battles when it comes to climate change and the environment. So what is it we can do to find hope again? Think about that. Another question that was asked was about the economy. Somebody wanted to know if we were going to have inflation, recession, what was going to happen with the economy. And for this question, I pulled the Five of Swords. Again, not the greatest answer. I don't think financially things are looking great, or economically things are going to pan out well for everybody. There are going to be losses while, you know, the billionaires continue to win. There are going to be cheaters. I almost think of companies that are going out and buying all the homes in an entire neighborhood and trying to make profit off of, you know, Airbnbs, or, you know, just be wary that the economy is not going to be in the best shape next year. But there are things that you can do to protect yourself and the things you value. And that is most especially not doing anything shady, not doing anything risky. And I also pulled the Ace of Wands for additional help with this question. So I think it's a really good time to be creative with how you generate and save money. Note the save word. The next question that was asked was about politics, with the GOP nomination specifically. And for the GOP nomination, I pulled the Hanged Man. Wow. Talk about an intense symbol. Originally, the first thing I thought of when I saw the Hanged Man get pulled for the GOP nomination is that we're bringing a sacrificial lamb to the altar. You know, another puppet. I think politics in general are going to be really rough next year. One of the ways I describe the Hanged Man card is it's not an easy card, but it's a necessary card. It makes me almost think about what we went through watching Warnock and Walker go through a second vote, a runoff vote, and how challenging it was. But in the end, I believe that the solution came out in a positive manner, and that people that perhaps do not have what it takes to be a representative for the public just not make it. So let's hope that even with the Hanged Man, this could be an access way to changes that we need. I pulled an additional card for politics next year, and I got the Queen of Wands. So let's keep our eyes open on female candidates. Perhaps there are going to be female candidates in the GOP to try and bring maybe a slice of diversity. So let's see what's coming about with that. The next question asked, and this was actually asked a few times, which is jarring, but it's reality. People asked a lot about whether or not there would be war next year. And the answer I received was the Seven of Wands. So yes, I think that there's going to be some sort of tension or fighting going on. I wonder if there's going to be some sort of surprise attack that we hear about. It's a challenging card. It shows conflict. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see tensions rising. On a positive note with war, I pulled the Four of Wands in regards to the Ukrainian conflict. So my hope is that there is some sort of resolution that takes place next year, at least in regards to the Ukrainian conflict. The next question asked was about student loans. For this, I pulled the Justice card. My suspicion is that student loans and folks who are suffering from student loan debt in the U.S. will find themselves watching a lot of legal rigmarole next year. So this may go through the court. Whenever justice appears, I like to remember that the ultimate goal of this card is to bring things back into balance. So please keep the faith for right now. Student loans are a serious issue and they're totally out of balance. And I think that when the Justice card appears, there is a need to bring it back into balance. It's completely out of balance right now. My suggestion with this is to contact your representatives. Let them know that you will be voting for candidates that support the cancelization of student loan debt and become an activist about this cause. There are plenty of activism groups out there that help with student loan debt and the cancellation of student loan debt. So we're now moving into the more empowering, remember that word, empowerment, empowering and more positive responses that I received. So somebody asked me, will there be balance and sanity in the USA? I got a really wonderful answer for this question. The Two of Cups. This is really quite a charming card when asking about balance and sanity. I wonder if with all the challenges maybe associated with the economy or the environment, friends become friends, neighbors become friends, family members connect. There will be a little bit more balance. Deals will be struck, sides will come together. So moving forward on a personal level, if you want to experience this balance and sanity, the goal is finding similarities, not differences. And in addition to this, and this may sound a little bit lofty, but it's really appropriate for the Two of Cups, spend your time and energy around those who are loving and supportive. Do not make room for anger or for hatred. So anything aggressive, anything hateful, anything mean-spirited has no room in your life in 2023 if you want balance and sanity. The next question asked was about the U.S. food supply. And for this answer, I received the Six of Cups. This is a very interesting card to pull. I think it's on the hopeful side. I don't think we have to be worried about the loss of food. It actually has a more nostalgic feel, which would suggest perhaps we need to consider how people used to grow, prepare, and preserve their food in the past. So how about a victory garden? When we were in the pandemic, we were all gardening. Maybe it's time to get something out again and see how many tomatoes you can grow in your backyard or on your patio. Another way to look at this is reviewing the giving relationship between the two siblings that are traditionally shown on the card. And the question then needs to be, how can we help the less fortunate? Maybe it's paying it forward or giving a larger tip to a server or supporting living wage businesses, giving food donations, seed exchanges, gifting when you can, supporting local businesses. Consider the ways that you can help people close to you or to businesses that matter to you. Another question, and this is obviously on the minds of everybody, was about the pandemic. Shockingly, the answer was the Death card. Now that seems like a real big symbol, but I think that the pandemic has absolutely forever changed us. And what we need to do moving forward is, again, wondering where we can stay hopeful. We may also want to re-examine our relationship with death and dying, and not only death and dying of physical body, but the death of pre-pandemic life. I don't know if you've ever tried to watch a comedy special from pre-pandemic, but it almost feels like it came from a different universe. We've completely changed over the last few years. And we have to accept that. And there's some grief that comes with the changes that took place. In addition to the Death card, I pulled another card for clarification, and I pulled the Nine of Cups. Phew, what a relief. My hope is next year that the pandemic will be a little bit easier. People will have a little bit more room to move around, and that, you know, restrictions will stay loose, but that people will not have such terrible responses to it. So another hopeful answer. Another question somebody asked is, will there be spiritual awakening? This also came along with the idea of the veil and the other world coming closer to ours. And the answer I received for spiritual awakening is the Eight of Pentacles. So my answer about spiritual awakening is it's happening right now. The Eight of Pentacles tends to be a do your work kind of card. So consider what spiritual practices are beneficial to you and how you can turn them into repeated rituals. You may want to consider what it is you can dedicate yourself to that you are truly passionate about in 2023. I have two more cards that I pulled for 2023. One was to explore what overall advice we can take going into 2023. And the card I pulled was the Knight of Pentacles. So 2023, you will reap what you sow. In other words, it could be a year of hard work if you want it to be. And if you don't mind putting in a little effort, sowing the seeds, prepping the garden, stocking the shelves, making a list, checking it twice, it will pay off. The story about the Knight of Pentacles is that while this knight tends to be less action-oriented than the other knights, this knight allows for us to pause before we react. So it's a card of patience. What can we do to be patient and stay focused? So again, we're seeing this sort of theme in 2023 of empowerment, staying on target, finding what it is we need to stay focused. Another couple things about the Knight of Pentacles I think are interesting as well. as I cough. But one thing you might want to try and do is stay healthy. So what are the ways that you bring health and wellness into your life? This will allow you to maintain a higher energy level, to stay active, anything that can help you stay on target and feel empowered and feel your very best. These are the things that we need to think about going into 2023. And finally, with the Knight of Pentacles, this can be an exploration of trust. And I think this is really interesting when we think about the hero in the parade or conflict cards like the Five of Swords, where we see cheaters and winners and losers. So we have to explore, who is it we trust? How honest are you with yourself? How honest are you with others? Who or what do you trust? Where are you getting your information? This is all so valuable as we go into a post-pandemic world where everything is transformed and the gathering of knowledge can just feel completely different and challenging. So contemplate, who is it you trust? How do you show trust? How are you honest? How do you know when other people are being honest? And always check your sources. And finally, let's end with a card of encouragement for 2023. For this, I pulled the Queen of Pentacles. And for this card, I really, I look at it as a card of growth, and I look at it as a card of opportunity, and I look at it as a card of healing. And one other thing I want to say, too, is I pulled a second card to just see what else goes along with the Queen of Pentacles. And I pulled the Queen of Cups. So these are two very feminine cards. One is all about nurturing, and the other is all about expression. So how are we going to embrace personal power and find success in the year of the Chariot with such soothing feminine cards? And my solutions to that, or my answers to that, are being aware of what love is, expressing love, turning to the arts, turning to magic, and taking care of the earth. So we started with some challenging cards about environment and climate. What magic and expression and nurturing can we put into the world around us and the people around us so we can heal? So 2023 will have its ups and downs like any other year, but the goal moving forward is to find your personal power, drive your own chariot, write poetry, paint a picture, bake cupcakes, sing to your pet, love those that are close to you, show them you love them, and bond through honest and trusting, enjoyable opportunities. So, I've been talking now for 20 minutes. Phew, 2023 is going to be a heck of a year, y'all. Take care. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And stay well.
The laundromat. All throughout my childhood, there was a homeless man who slept in our local laundromat. Every Thanksgiving and Christmas, my mom would cook a big spread and we would take him a heaping plate, and I insisted on hugging him. It was one of my favorite memories and probably one of the reasons I ended up in school for social work. Submitted by Chelsea J. Wells.
This is Nick Spencer. Guided meditation for cultivating joy. Sit comfortably in a quiet place with your spine up tall. Relax your shoulders, your belly, and your thighs. Shift back slightly so your head and your shoulders sit directly over your hips. Close your eyes and feel into the connection between your hips or your legs and the earth. As you breathe gently in and out through your nose, allow yourself to get further settled into your seat. With this rooting down, notice the energy you receive back from the earth. Feel how your connection to the support underneath you helps you feel tall, awake, and alive. Remain connected to the body and the breath, aware of the body and breath. Feel how the body seemingly breathes itself. Notice into the wonder of the rise and fall of your chest. The wonder of the continual movement of breath. Soften into a deep feeling of gratitude for the body itself and your breath. Sense your heart opening to the miracle that is your body. Recognize all the wonderful ways in which it functions, and all the amazing ways in which it allows you to connect with your world. Feel your heart open to the miracle that is your breath. Conjure up a heartfelt gratitude as you delve into present moment awareness. Recognize how precious and how extraordinary your breath and your body are. Feel your body softening and opening into this awareness. Feel all the tension release from your forehead, your shoulders, your belly, and your thighs. And then, intentionally, ever so slightly, turn up the corners of your mouth. Notice how the body reacts to this subtle smile, and turn toward that sensation. Label that sensation as happiness, as joy, or as bliss, and sit with it. Hold your subtle inner smile and explore. Notice what arises. Notice too that this sensation of joy is available to you right here, right now. Doing something as simple as sitting still, watching, and noticing. Right here, right now. The more you can be present, the more you can feel yourself, the more you can free yourself from thinking about what comes next, the more you can free yourself from ruminating on what has already happened, the more you are available to notice this joy. Notice that joy doesn't so much arise, but joy is revealed. Joy is most available to you when you are available to be nowhere other than right here, right now. Rest your whole body in this state of joy. And identify with bliss as who you really are. This happiness This joy, this bliss, is what remains when you drop all superficial thinking and doing. It's what remains when you're nowhere other than present, right here. This joy is you. It is your natural state. Recall this sensation, and remember that this joy, as you, is available to you at any time. Anytime you'd like to come back to this feeling, all you need to do is stop what you're doing and notice. So right here, acknowledge the ease, the spaciousness. Acknowledge the gratitude and awe. Acknowledge your inner smile and the sensation of joy. Get to know joy in this moment, and make a promise to remember joy, to turn towards joy, and to notice who it is that you truly are, even as you return to your day.
The Cabbage Patch Kid. I was 6 years old, my parents were getting a divorce, and my mom was pregnant with my little brother, so things were really rocky for us. On Christmas Eve, my mom got a phone call, and the woman on the phone said that they had heard we were having a rough time and asked if it would be okay for Santa to visit. We lived in a tiny town, so my mom wasn't too surprised that people knew what was going on. A week later, we heard bells, and down the road came a horse-drawn carriage with real-life Santa. He came in and gave me a Cabbage Patch Kid doll. It was the 80s. To this day, we still don't know who Santa was or who called my mom. Every year, I send a little thank you by trying to do something special for someone else who needs it. They taught me what Christmas is really all about, and I never get tired of seeing other people's faces light up when I have been able to be their Santa. Submitted by Dizzy Izzy 316. Well, witches, that is all we've got for you today. We hope you have enjoyed and you have a wonderful rest of your year. We are taking a break until January 9th, so we will see you then. And don't forget to stay after the credits to hear more about everyone who volunteered to help put this episode together. So that's it. Merry Christmas. Happy Yule. Happy Hanukkah. Winter blessings. Happy New Year. We'll see you guys soon.
Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart. You see it's getting late, oh please don't hesitate, put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better you. Can't be here just to wait.
This is Nyx, also known as Spence, here on this podcast, and you've been listening to a guided meditation from mindfulnessexercises.com. You can find me on my podcast, Resonant Moon Tea Time, and you can also find my Fibromancy along with fellow listener Val at Fibromancers.com. The number 4, higher.com.
Hi, this is author and musician for fun, Jessica Marie Baumgartner, and I want to wish everybody a Merry Everything!